Blog Talk Radio.
So no faithless and perverse generation. Did he say faithless and what else? What makes a man get perverted without faith? What's perverted our Christianity? Faithless.
Well, say that profess that God has given you power, love, and a sound mind, and your mind is not sound. You don't have power to overcome your present situation and circumstances.
Now, the devil is always pushing. You can recognize the demons working because they always push to impetuous, immediate action. Don't think, do. And the devil says, if you don't do it now, you'll miss the opportunity. If you don't move now, if you don't sell now, if you don't jump now, it'll be gone.
And the kingdom of God is best expressed by authority and power to cast out devils.
Listen, dear friends, don't forget that little word he said, seek ye first. Come on, that's the secret right there, seek ye first. Seek ye first. Oh, I tell you, the average person said, seek me first. That's it, seek me first. Put me first.
Well, anyone who opposes the kingdom of God and the casting out of devils. Because when we're of God's kingdom, our sole purpose is to destroy Satan's kingdom. Our sole purpose is to cast down Satan's kingdom.
I can tell you, have you won souls or not? Whether you get your prayers answered, whether you're happy or not, whether you got a happy home or not, whether you're worth killing in the church or not, I can tell you, if you log your time and let me see how you start your day out, if you grab a cup of coffee and a newspaper and sit there for an hour and let the Bible go begging, brother, you're mixed up in worldliness.
The Word of God said, we're going over to the other side. And in the midst of the Word of God said, we are going over to the other side, the enemy showed up in the storm. And the first thing that the enemy did was challenge those who walk with Christ. Those who eat with him and slept with him and saw the miracle, the signs and the wonders done by him. The first thing that the enemy did was steal the word that they heard right out of their heart and then allow doubt to rise up on the inside of them. And instead of believing what the word of God said, they said, Lord, we perish.
Reading the word that's going to give you faith, that isn't what he's talking about. It isn't just hearing the word's going to give you faith. You've got to open your spiritual ear or eye as you hear or read the word and appropriate by faith. Make it yours.
That'll sober you up. That ought to melt your silly heart. I'm not interested in your feelings and your little silly sentimentality. I'm wondering about your love for Christ and compassion for others. Do you care? I'm asking you one question tonight. Do you love Jesus or do you love this stinking world?
But God wants us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Deceiving ourselves. How many folks are deceived every single week? Going to hear what they call the word and it never once emboldens them or give them a desire or a passion to do the works of Christ.
We want just a bunch of sickly sentimentality, and we want to just fix up sort of a hiding place and a loophole for sinners to say, well, if that old cuss made it in, I can make it in myself.
The kingdom is within you, and the only kingdom that this world is going to understand until the king comes is what they see in us. Because now we are the only creatures that have the ability to walk in darkness and to walk in light.
Oh, God's people, glory!
Hey, glory to the King, saints. Hope you all doing well. Of course, sound check right away. See if I'm even coming in. Glory to the King. Hallelujah. Sound check, please. Am I on? Okay. All right, we got Tim. Thank you, Brother Steve. Good to see you, Brother Steve. Brother Ugly in the room. A bit low. Okay, turn the volume up. Should be screaming now. That's the second time using this Polycom system, so I got to step it up with my game here a little bit. Hallelujah, Tim. Well, glory to the King. We got some people tuning in tonight. Hey, wonderful. Glory to the King. Hope you all had a good week. Had a good first day, and I'm pretty confident. At least I can speak for myself that Elder Donnie delivered a beautiful word yesterday. Really blessed my soul. It is, yeah, the sacrifice. And the thing about the Most High and His kingdom, you're only going to get out of it what you put into it. But that's with anything in life. So the more time you give Him in praise and worship and honor that He's due, the more He'll give back to you. It may not always be what you want, but it's for your perfection, right? Hallelujah. Yeah, you sure did. Yeah, I'm getting comments. Beautiful word. And I'm thankful that I get to be part of a ministry that is definitely inspired by the Ruach, and that we have men, brothers and sisters that love the Most High and are definitely fervent about serving Him. We truly are blessed. And there was no title that I was able to give teacher in time before I came on tonight, but it's simply we're going to talk about, future events, signs and wonders. I honestly don't even remember how I came upon this, even think about doing this blog talk that way, but I guess it's just the way that the Most High had me to go tonight for whatever reason. And we all know that it's coming. We all read the Word. We know what the words of Yahshua had spoken to us and said to us. Those things written on the page, the continual warnings that we get as Israel about what we need to do, prepare ourselves for what is coming soon upon the face of the earth. And definitely there's already much here that is just, the Word has already told us about this, it revealing itself now more and more. So, hey, glory to the King. We've got no excuse that we didn't have an opportunity to get ourselves ready. Remember, there were five wise and five foolish, and they all got the same, the same amount of information. They got the same amount of opportunity to prepare themselves for the coming of their of the groom, the bridegroom. So we got no excuse either. But, hey, glory to the King. Again, good to see you all in the room tonight, those listening by phone or online, through Blog Talk Radio or on the chat tonight. Hey, peace and blessings, strength and honor. So, again, Brother Ugly, thank you again. I'll just say ahead of time for posting the scriptures, the definitions. Always appreciated. Man, I just popped my head, the amount of word we get. Wow, it's so much that we get here continually, and it is a definitely something you have to keep on top of, otherwise it'll get away from you. I mean, just from all over the place. We have brothers and sisters here, our pastors, elders, and then across the seas, like Brother Ray, Brother Raymond in Sweden, he's posting up videos and taking the Aramaic and breaking it down, which I'm definitely appreciative of. And I even told Brother Raymond I got some catching up to do with even his videos. But, it's just a labor of love for Israel just to let us all know, even in depth more, because you can't exhaust Yah, you can't exhaust his word, and you can't exhaust what he's trying to reveal to his people. I mean, there's just so much there. But with that, we're going to get started. It's going to probably be about an hour, what it usually is. But again, the focus is on signs and wonders to come and the great deceptions behind that. So with that, we're going to start in the textbook area that this is talked about, which would be Matthew chapter 24, and that'll be verses 21 through 27, Matthew 24, 21 through 27. Yeah, I understand, Brother Ugly. Glory to the King. I know what you mean. All right, Matthew 24, starting at verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And, of course, we know if you read the entirety of the context of that chapter, at least with the the 20 prior verses, it talks about the time of sorrows. And this is also mirrored and reflected. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1 talks about time of tribulation such as the world has never seen and shall ever be again. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. So unless the days were actually shortened and cut off, none of those that name the name of Yahshua, none of the elect or the very elect would be able to make it to the end, because Satan's going to have everything and all the stops pulled out, and he's gunning for Israel, the true Israelites at heart, that soul and spirit. That's where his targets are set. He's got the world. His trophy is Israel, Yah's people. Then if any man say unto you, lo, here's Yahshua, or there, believe it or not, here's the Christ, the Messiah, or there, believe it not. So Jesus is beginning right away warning us. He's telling us it's going to be a time of great tribulation. It's going to be a time of turmoil, chaos, upside down time like we've never seen before. And in fact, it's going to be so difficult and so overwhelming that unless Yah shortened the days and did a quick work in righteousness, that none of Israel would be saved. Satan would have conquered and destroyed them all. And so he's giving us a warning. He said, lo, here's Christ, or there, believe it not. Because people are going to be looking for hope. They're going to be looking for a Savior. They're going to be looking for somebody to look to because of all the turmoil going on the face of the earth. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. So they're going to have such a prominence, a pull, these false Christs and false prophets, that if the possibility exists, that they're going to be able to deceive not just the elect, but the very elect, through great signs and wonders. It doesn't say anything anywhere else. We're going to talk about that through people speaking, people's words, people's doctrines, the context, the ideology, whatever it may be, but it makes it quite clear. Yahshua says it's going to be the great signs and wonders that would be the thing, if possible, to see the very elect. So these things are going to have to absolutely be something powerful. And, of course, the elect, I look behind the word, it means the best of its kind or class, excellence or preeminence, chosen as a recipient of a special privilege. So these are on the very, very top of Yah's ladder. Verse 25, behold, I have told you before, wherefore if they shall say unto you, so Jesus is giving warning again, behold, he's in the desert. Who's in the desert? The many Christ or the false prophets go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chambers. Believe it not. I mean, what you got to ask yourself, what would drive you, or what would drive the very elect or anybody, that Yahshua would actually have to give this warning, that they would actually go see and fall for these false Christs and these false prophets that will deceive people by the great signs and wonders. For as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also be the coming Son of Man. So he's making it clear. He's letting us know that, 4,000 years, 2,000 years ago, that this is the thing that you should be looking for. These are the things you need to hold fast to, is that the Son of Man is going to be coming out of the east and shine to the west. This is the only thing that we need to be looking for as far as it's coming. So this one very thing, so we're not fooled by the great signs and wonders. And these things have to be something powerful. All right, the word sign in the Greek, in the Strong's definition, is the 4592. It's semion or mion. It's an indication, especially ceremonially or supernaturally, a miracle, a sign, a token, a younger. So they're going to be coming out showing great miracles. Great miracles. And the same word, sign, Greek 4592, excuse me, again, semion, is the Thayer definition. It's a sign, a mark, a token, that by which a person or a thing is distinguished from others and is known. So something that is there to set people apart. A sign, a prodigy, a portent, an unusual occurrence transcending the common course of nature. A sign's portending remarkable events soon to happen. So it's an ominous, you know, them telling you things of things that may come in the future. Of miracles and wonders by which Yah authenticates the men sent by him. And this is the one that I really want to capitalize on. And the reason is because I believe this is going to be the one that would be the biggest deception. Miracles and wonders, and I'm talking about mass healings, you know, that sort of things. Of miracles and wonders by which Yah authenticates the men sent by him, or by which men prove that the cause they are pleading is Yah. And then the word wonder, the Greek 5059, which is Tiras, the Strong's definition. I have both Strong's and Thayer. Prodigy or omen, and in the Thayer, the same Greek 5059, it's a prodigy, portent, a miracle performed by anyone. So something that is futuristic, but also instant, as a miracle is right there on the spot. All right, glory to the King. So moving on, Mark chapter 13, verses 19 through 23. Mark 13, 19 through 23. Again, this is just the same account just written in the book of Mark as we just read in Matthew. It reads just a little bit different, but it's, you know, definitely worth reiterating what, or put on top of what was already written in the book of Matthew. For in those days shall be affliction, such as was not from the beginning of creation, which Yah created unto this time, neither shall be. And except the Master had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved, as we talked about earlier. But for the elect's sake, whom he had chosen, he had shortened the days. And then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, here he is there, believe him not. For false Christ and false prophets shall arise and show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. Or, you know, these false Christ, Yahshua, being presented another way, like there's something that we must go see because it hasn't been seen, you know, greater things. But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all these things. And again, what I'm trying to get at is that, you know, the Bible talks about, and I didn't put it all in here because we all know what most of it that study and look into these future events, and by the preaching also, is that we're going to see signs in the stars and the sun, the moons, and the, you know, in the skies, and groanings and travailings in this earth, and all kinds of stuff that this world has never seen. But the thing that takes people and ensnares them the most is these great displays of some divine authority or power. And again, like, you know, I've never spoke about this, but it's coming to my mind twice. So it talks about Mark 16, these signs shall follow and believe, you know. It talks about they shall take up serpents. And I know Brother Eric talked about it. I'm not trying to tread on it, but I actually believe that it has more to do with mass healings, like the account does when Moses raised the brass serpent in the wilderness, and all that looked upon it were saved. It was a mass, a large group healing is what it was. So I believe that's akin to what that talks about, Yahshua talked about in Mark 16, but it's just an opinion. But anyway, there's going to be, I believe that these false prophets, these false Christs, are going to do huge displays, great big miracles of so many people getting healed, being set free, all these things that easily pull men in, and we have the scriptures to back that up, and we're going to read about that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 9. Again, all these talking about end time events and the condition of the world. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Master Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or troubled, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Just be totally assured that it's coming, and to prepare yourself. Don't be troubled, don't be shaken in mind. We have to go through these things to get to the point when Yahshua comes back. Let no man deceive you by any means, either by word, or by performance, or by demonstration of any type of power or authority, Lo man, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So it's all these falling away is coming by self-deception, others deceiving you. I mean, how many people have this dead season so far been the casualty of false doctrines? I'm not on Facebook anymore, but I've heard plenty of things that have been going on. A few people that used to reside at this ministry and had the privilege of actually being here, both brothers at one time, or men and that were part of this ministry, have both been given up to, that spirit of Diotrephes, loving to have the preeminence, putting out all this new doctrine out there and challenging the saints astray, way, trying to cause division. And I'm glad that, and I'm so glad to see it and grateful that the Most High, Yahshua knows them that are His, and we have the brethren out there actually attacking these false doctrines and, keeping these people at bay. Are there going to be a few casualties? Yeah, I mean, I had just heard a report of somebody else that got taken over in this, jacked up idea that, David's the Messiah, and even though it's been talked about, told again, that's how, more seducing spirits, and it's just going to get more convincing, and there's going to be more evidence, or quote evidence, that what these false doctrines are saying is indeed what should be listened and heeded to. But that's why, again, we're getting the warning. Okay, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called Yah, or that is worship, so that he is Yah, sitteth in the temple of Yah, showing himself that he is Yah. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told these things? Jesus talked to the disciples. Here's Paul saying, I'm reminding you again. This is a point that has to be continually, put in our thoughts and our minds, because the deception is coming. What was already then, but greater deception is coming. So I'm telling you these things. I'm reiterating them over and over and over. And know you not, and know ye what withholdeth that he might be revealed in this time. So at that appointed time, at the time that this man of sin is to be coming, or to be known, made known throughout all the world, that time is shortly upon us. For the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom Yahweh shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. And before he does that, he's going to have these two prophecies, two witnesses on upon the face of this earth that are going to severely challenge his Antichrist and his system. Even him, so this man of sin, the son of perdition, how is he going to come and what's he going to do? Whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. It's interesting that the Apostle Paul put within the context of his letter that the man of perdition, which is coming, will be coming after the working of Satan, almost like reminding us again what you see, the power and demonstration of these this power, these signs and lying wonders. I mean, why would Paul even have to write that in there after the working of Satan? We already know he's a man of sin, the son of perdition. But Paul had to reiterate it. Who he's working after, Satan, because the deception is going to be that powerful. Yeah, I know, Brother Ugly, that's what I heard the other day, spew more crap, but that's been his M.O. for quite a while. Hey, you got to love to have the preeminence. They ain't going to receive the brethren. You know what spirit you're dealing with, Diotrephes. As if to tell us that this man is working his power, signs, and wonders coming directly from Satan and not to be taken in by those things that this imposter will show for all to see. Revelation chapter 13. Verses 11 through 15. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And again, go read the entire chapter in context. It's talking about, the man of sin, the son of perdition, the beast system. Verse 13, and he doeth great wonders. So they all mimic the same thing. They're all going to come down with this great display of power, this demonstration of lying signs and wonders. And he doeth great wonders, so that he make a fire come down from heaven on this from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles. And there can be just a huge scope of what the miracles entail. Not only coming fire down from heaven, but all the power that he has. But the whole point is to see them that dwell on the earth. Which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by the sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. I mean, the Catholic Church and all their little, what you call, miracles, wasn't it Fatima back here in the early 1900s, 1930s, circa, that time that some little girl saw the statue weeping or something? Again, so we already know them. Now, how many people has it deceived since that time? How many people has it convinced? Because people are... these people were so deceived and so enchanted by, and again, that's a good word, enchantments, because that's actually what it is. It's a source of sorcery, a divination, witchcraft that actually deceived these people, Catholics. They don't have the spirit, obviously, but it was something so powerful because it was supernatural. It was divinely given, divinely inspired, in their minds, divinely motivated, and it had to be God to do it, because God would take something that's holy and revealed, like this relic, make it do things, and then they come on. People fall at the feet of these things, these statues, hoping to get these tears dropped on them, whatever, you know. But it continues to see many just by this one little simple thing. So we have the same account here. It's nothing new under the sun. We're going to have this image that's going to be able to speak of course, it's the Catholics already, but now it's talking about deceiving the dwell on the earth. Not only the Christian Catholics, but even more so. Remember, it's going to be a perilous time. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 10 through 15. 2 Corinthians 11, 10 through 15. All right, and Paul writes, as the truth of Yahshua is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not, Yah knoweth. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles. Now, this is the reason I'm bringing this in here, because this has been around, as we all know, for a long time. Even Paul was warning about, and there's a level of deception here, but not like the one to come. But even then, there was so much written and spoken about these false apostles, false brethren, these false deceitful workers, that Paul was even trying to ingrain and put it into, chisel into the minds of the saints back in, that this stuff here, giving heed to it, is going to get you cut off and cause you to fall away. For such are false prophets and deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. So they're going to put on appearance that they're actually representing Yah's kingdom. They're going to have such a manner and a demeanor behind them that will actually be able to convince people that these are truly are men called of Yah. These truly are the called out, the chosen, the ecclesia. Oh, that word, you know what I'm talking about. But these actually are the people of the Most High, and they represent the Most High, and they can be trusted. And no marvel, for Satan is transformed into an angel of light. And they can't come as they are. In order to deceive Yah's people, they have to come as Yah's people. It's those that, Pastor just did that video, I think, if I remember right, it was on YouTube, or was it Patreon? It's not that from without, it's that which from within. The thing that we should always be looking for. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Boy, when he comes as Satan incarnate in the man of perdition, it's definitely, that's how he's going to transform himself so he can be received. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers are also transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So Paul gives us something to look for. So they may start out that way because of their evil, wicked, foul nature. They cannot continue to try to perform good deeds. All their ears try to do is to cause as many casualties as they possibly can. All right, Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Acts chapter 2, verse 22. You men of Israel, hear these words. Yeshua, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of Yah among you by miracles and wonders and signs. So we have the Apostle Peter here telling the people as he's making this proclamation, I need you to hear this thing. Now I'm telling you that is going to be the same proclamation. These false workers, deceitful workers, these false Christs, these false prophets, you're going to hear these same words. This is a man approved of Yah among you by miracles and wonders and signs. So how did Yeshua, you know, one of the ways that he was actually able to show that he was sent to the Most High, and that he was actually had Yah's approval, or he was sent by the Most High, by the situation of miracles, wonders, and signs. These things that people really, truly gravitate to. Things that they can't explain, things that, you know, that the Most High, it has to be of God. So we have to be actually able to, you know, there's no question it is, we're going to do whatever it is because This man or this woman has the backing, the approval of the Most High. All right, the word approved, the Greek 584 in the Thayer definition. It means to, so we have a man approved of Yah, or we have a man to point away from oneself, to point out, show forth, to expose, to view, to exhibit, to declare, to show, to prove what kind of person anyone is. So it's the proof that says what their origin from is, what where they came from, who is the one in the supernatural that was responsible for them being in front of the people doing these miracles, wonders, and signs. Again, so no, I'm not, of course, not taking away anything from Yeshua. I'm just saying this is going to be the same level of apostasy, the same level of deception that people are going to receive as something that is approved and sanctioned by the Most High, especially in these end days. I mean, come on, think about how else are you going to deceive Yah's people? Truly, we've been tested with false doctrines. I can't even tell you how many false prophets I've spoken to in the last 3 or 4 years. I've lost, you know, pastor was asking me a couple weeks ago at the elders' table, so when's the last time Elijah called in? Yeah, Elijah calls in every once in a while. This is nothing. I mean, it's a cakewalk for us. We already know it, but, you know, they are deceitful workers, and there may be one or two people that they're getting are deceiving, primarily themselves, and they're lost, but, you know, it's nothing that's going to cause us, at least the elect, to stumble, at least those that are walking in the truth and staying on the path of righteousness. You know, it's just, it's little stuff. It's not, there's no deception or no sway at all in none of this stuff, these light things. All right, Acts chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. Acts 5, 12 through 14. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, there's no man joined himself to them, but the people magnified them. And the believers were more added to the master of multitudes, both of men and women. Again, so we have these people. Remember, I talked about the false apostles, false Christ. We have the same example here. And they were able to win the people and convince the people that they were actually approved of Yah or sent by the Most High, and the fact they were able to do significant signs and wonders. That was the draw. That was the thing that really, not only the proclamation of the word, true, but this was in a situation where it was, you know, because people, there's a lot of stuff they do with their eyes. They're not so much with their ears. But what you see on, that's why when people turn through a magazine, it's not so much, you know, actually the reading and trying to comprehension. It's just what they're looking at, the pictures, seeing the demonstrations, the visual stuff that captures people's attention quicker than what is being spoken. But faith cometh by hearing, so not so much by what is seen. Let me see. Should we, just in case, I mean, yeah, there might be somebody listening outside online or something that may be new possibly, so we're going to do a ministry break real quick.
Shalom, this is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the broadcast that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straightway Truth radio broadcast. We try to make sure that we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast, as well as the truth, coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High Yah. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Charles Dowell Jr. That's Charles Dowell Jr. And Dowell is spelled D-O-W-E-L-L. 506 Ellington Drive. Ellington is spelled E-L-L-I-N-G-T-O-N. P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee. And Lafayette is spelled L-A-F-A-Y-E-T-T-E 37083. Again, our mailing address is Charles Dowell, Jr., 506 Ellington Drive, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. That's 1-615-688-3025. 688-3025. You may leave a message there, and be the Father's will, we will do whatever we can to try to return your message. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straightway Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others, so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives, so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ, just like we all are. Shalom, the King is coming.
Hallelujah, the King is coming. Glory to the King. All right, right back at it. Back in the book of Acts, chapter 6, verses 7 through 10. Acts chapter 6, verses 7 through 10. And I hope I'm back on the air. Hallelujah. All right. And the word of Yah increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Well, we know where his power and his authority and the ability to do this came from is because he was chosen, called, elect, and the Most High, the baptism of the Ruach HaKodesh, and that's where his focus, his power, it's where he came from. This definitely was a man approved of Yah also, but the fact of the matter is he was able to demonstrate these things, and again, we're going to have it on the same level, but these people have to have come in the name of Yahshua, come in the approval of the Most High to actually went over the hearts of the people. And there arose certain in the synagogues, which called the synagogue of the Libertines, and the Cyrenians, and Alexandrians, and them of Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. He was so powerful and authoritative and full of confidence in what he did because Yah was with him, that there was absolutely no way they could resist what he was doing or speaking. But he was speaking by the Holy Spirit. And again, we're going to have these false Christ, false apostles, false prophets that are going to come and be able to demonstrate the same amount of thing, if it were possible to be able to deceive the very elect.
Mark chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. Mark 16, verses 17 and 18. And we've most of all heard this before, but, and these signs shall follow them which believe. So these are the things that are going to, that actually signify and point out to others, ourselves and others, that we actually are believers, all right? Believers in the faith, Yeshua HaMashiach, and the power and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So these are identifiers. These are the things whereby people can attribute that we must be with the Most High. We must have been with Jesus. In my name they shall cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. Well, there's people out there casting out devils right now. I can tell you they're not of Yah, and they're not of the kingdom of heaven. They're actually deceitful workers, like Bob Larson is one of the biggest ones. You know, when I first started coming to the knowledge of the truth, even though I hadn't been totally, been born again at that point, you know, I used to listen to this guy and was just awed by the fact that, because it was so divine and supernatural, and just, it was totally foreign to my ears and my mind, this concept, this man beyond the radio dealing with demonic spirits, I was totally taken with this guy. I would listen to his show every day. And then, but yeah, he's nothing but a deceitful worker. But he does cast out devils. At least he gives the appearance of it. And they shall speak with new tongues. And they shall take up serpents, and they drink any deadly thing that shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Again, isn't this evidence that someone is a believer? That they can do all the things that Yahshua stated? I mean, we're coming to that level that these lying signs, these wonders and miracles are going to have to be attributed to somebody that's actually of the Most High, and it's going to have to be some very powerful things in order to be to the point where it can actually deceive the very elect. John chapter 7, verse 31 and 32. No, John chapter 7, verse 31, and then John chapter 2, verse 23. John 7:31, and many of the people believed on him and said, when Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done? So the people are all looking and they're asking themselves, when they're seeing Jesus do all these miracles and hearing the testimonies of all these men that are all these women that Jesus had healed, and all of a sudden they get, who else can do these? This has to be the Christ that's coming to see all this stuff taking place. John 2:23. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast, many believed in his name. When they finally believed in Yahshua, that he was sent, the man approved of Yah, sent, must have been by the Most High, when they saw the miracles which he did. Again, he was able to gain many of the people, or at least get their attention, simply by the miracles that he performed, that Yahshua performed. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 through 4. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of Yah. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Yahshua HaMashiach and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. So Paul was there amongst him, laboring, through all of his ups and downs, everything they went through, he had been through with them. And in my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. But Paul was able to back up that which he spoke of. All right, number 16, verses 28 through 35, and again, I'm just going through examples and giving you examples in the Word where these men were actually approved by Yah, and they were actually able to demonstrate that they came from the Most High by the signs, the wonders, and the demonstration power that they walked in. And it's going to me, it's going to be on the same level as we get closer to the Great Tribulation. Because the target, like I said in the beginning, it's going to be on the believers, the true believers. That's the one that's going to be in Satan's scope. That's going to be his trophy. And like I said, no flesh shall be saved, talking about that none of the believers will be saved alive. That would say that's why Satan's coming, to destroy them. He gets us one opportunity to completely wipe out the testimony of any Yah's people that are left alive on the face of the earth when Jesus comes, and he's not going to be able to do it because it's already been written. So, hey, glory to the King. All right, Numbers chapter 16, starting at verse 28, going to 35. And Moses said, "Hereby we shall know that the Most High has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own mind." So Moshe is making a proclamation. I'm going to show you who's sending me. I'm going to tell you who I'm approved of. I'm going to demonstrate this for you. Now he's going to prove that he's under the direct authority of the Most High. "If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Most High hath not sent me." So he's actually putting out a disclaimer. He's going to show you that if what I'm about to speak, this mighty wonder, this sign, this portent, this omen, this thing that I'm about to speak into life, if it doesn't come to pass, then you know that I'm not of Yah. But so what if when it does come to pass? So automatically it's going to be brought to their attention that this had to be from the Most High, because this man must have been sent from Yahshua, from Yah. But if Yahweh make a new thing and open up her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertaineth unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then you shall understand that these men have provoked the Most High. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the and that men that appertaineth unto Korah, and all their goods. Remember, Satan's an emulator. He can't produce or create nothing, but he's a perfect emulator, at least as perfection as he can go with it, at least as far as he can get. Remember, transforming himself into an angel of light, a minister of light, showing himself as Yah in the temple of Yah. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, "Lest the earth swallow us up also." And there came out fire from the Most High and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. Oh, here come the fire. We talked about the beast that's going to come send down fire from heaven. We also got the two prophets in Revelation 11 do the same thing. So there's going to be a great, huge displays all across this earth of great signs and wonders. Okay, now we're going to give different demonstrations of, are these the false prophets, false brethren type of men that Yahshua is warning us about? To a degree, but no, not the ones to come. And I'm going to read you, and I'm going to tell you why. Because you can see they're manifest by the fruits. Like I talked about before, we can clearly see when we've had Moses and Elijah and prophets come here and call here, and they're manifest who they are of, who their kingdom is of. They're not of the Most High. They're easy to be discerned. And the Most High said unto Moses, "See, I have made..." Okay, Exodus chapter 7, 1 through... I'm sorry, 1 through... Exodus 7, 1 through 12. And the Most High said unto Moses, "See, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh and Aaron, and thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may..." So again, Yah is making a proclamation telling Moses what he's going to do. He's going to multiply signs and wonders in the land of Egypt to make Pharaoh's heart even harder until he finally breaks and sends Israel away. Okay, so, but again, he's going to do it by the hand of Moses, his representative on the earth, his go-to guy, the one that is approved by Yah above the people and for the people. "But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lead my hand, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth mine armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. and the Egyptians shall know that I am Yah Elohim. When I stretch forth mine hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. And Moses and Aaron did as Yahweh commanded them, so did they. And Moses was fourscore years old, and Aaron fourscore and 3 years old, when they spake unto Pharaoh. And Yahshua spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show a miracle for you, then thou shalt see an Aaron take thy rod and cast before Pharaoh, and shall become a serpent. And Moses and Aaron went unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Most High had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and he became a serpent. Okay, now here we're going to have a little change-up, right? Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, because Pharaoh knew that his magicians, his sorcerers, his diviners, those that had the ability for enchantments, were able to actually perform these same feats, right? Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and sorcerers. Now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. For they cast on every man his rod, and they became serpents, but Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. So the whole point is, it was easy to discern what kingdom they were working for. They were Egyptian magicians. They weren't trying to hide anything. They were clearly manifest that they were not of Yah, weren't Yah's people. I mean, that's the no-brainer stuff that we can discern and pick up. I mean, so if somebody comes to you this day, and you know that they're going to perform these great miracles, these signs and wonders, but it's already a given, and a known fact that they're not in the kingdom of Yah, they're not one of Yah's, it's not going to deceive anybody, right? It's not going to, and it's an amazing thing. I don't know how many of you follow YouTube or, you know, that type of platform, but there is a lot of things coming out about these magic acts that are being done across the world that people are getting a very tough time explaining what's going on. And I actually believe most of them are becoming absolutely totally supernatural as the men of this earth are actually tapping into the supernatural. And they're up on their level of deception through these magic tricks. There's definitely demons involved. This isn't your old card trick stuff anymore. This is some really heavy stuff. All right, Acts chapter 20, verses 28 through 31. Acts chapter 20, verses 28 through 31. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers to feed the church of Yah, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing, this is Paul speaking to those in Acts, the book of Acts, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter among you, not sparing the flock. So they have an agenda and a goal that they're there to cut, divide and conquer, which has always been Satan's tactic. Also of your own selves amongst you, that is in Israel, those you consider your brothers and sisters, shall men arise speaking perverse things to draw disciples after them. Draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch, remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Now, have you ever noticed or had an awareness that those who seek to draw disciples away after their own selves never demonstrate the power of healing or deliverance or get spirits cast out of them? But I've never seen anybody that is out there running their mouth all the time about these new doctrines, these new ideas, these new philosophies, trying to win over Yah's chosen. You know, again, we talked about it before on Facebook and other places that, you know, in the open, they hide in their homes and their fellowships and they start promoting all this stuff. But they actually, you'll never see, I don't remember any one time where they ever were able to demonstrate any power of healing or deliverance. They were never active in it because they couldn't do it. They just didn't have the authority. So the only thing that they had was their mouth. All right? Speaking perverse things to draw away disciples, and there's a goal there to get people to listen to what they got to say so they're carried away in the dissimulation. All they have is their mouths and logic and reasoning to win men over to their deceptive ideas and practice. But again, there's no I don't remember one of them ever at all. You know, this Krantz, Brandon Krantz, that we talked about. He was there at the ministry how many years? I never saw one time. No demonstration of shit. Nothing. Zip, zero, month. But, boy, they can run their mouths. They can tell you all the truth of the word and everything else, but there's nothing to back up anything that they have any authority in Yahshua. See, but the reason I'm bringing this up is because they're no danger. You already know where they're coming from. You already see their deceptive practices and deceptive ways. So these aren't the ones that are going to deceive the very elect. They're not going to do with their mouth. The ones that are going to possibly deceive the very elect are with the lying signs and wonders, and it can be these because they can't demonstrate 1 ounce of shit. Nothing. Zip, zero, nothing. Let me see. Okay, Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 10 through 14. Jeremiah 23, 10 through 14. Again, I'm just giving you examples of those that aren't able to deceive Israel. Yeah, always seeking the title. Yeah, you're right. They love to have the preeminence, the spirit of Diotrephes, and it's still in this ministry. It's still prominent. It's still here. In fact, I've many times in the past, if I see somebody of that particular spirit talking, got somebody off to the side and speaking all their mind, their thought, I'll go and cut them off. I'll call the other person away. And I'll tell people, as I'll repeat it now, you don't have to sit there and subject yourself to nobody. Anybody, if you get a red flag or some type of warning in your spirit that what somebody's saying, you're not forced to stay around, especially if they've been part of the ministry for a while. You don't have to sit there and open your ears to that garbage, because all it is seeds that may germinate later, and you're responsible for your own soul. So I'd get up and walk out in a minute. I mean, really. So if they get, hey, that's on them, not you. You're trying to save your soul. All right, Jeremiah 23, starting in verse 10. For the land is full of adulterers, for because of swearing the land mourneth. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their courses evil, and their force is not right. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith Yahweh. Wherefore their ways shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on, and fall therein. For I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Most High. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people to err. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. I mean, what we're dealing with is people that say they're of the Most High. They say they're of Israel, but they have a walk, and they have a discernment, they have a manifestation of that they're not of Yah's people or of His ways, that they're not His representatives, especially by what they're doing, so they're not to be trusted. So obviously they don't have the ability to deceive, even because of title. And I've seen also the prophets of Jerusalem in a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of the evildoers, that none does return from his wickedness. They are all of them as unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. And again, clearly these prophets are deeds are clearly manifest that they're not of Yah. So there's no, how many people can you deceive by that? You know, even if they do call out something or say something and it comes to pass, again, there's something that's working after them that's going to say, hey, wait a minute, I ain't going down this road. Okay, now the wicked seek Messiah going out after them, and the reason I'm bringing this up, because remember Yahshua said if they say that, I'm in the desert, don't go after them. If they say that I'm in this place, don't believe them, don't go, because these are the ones, these false prophets, these false Christs that are displaying these great signs and wonders, and if you actually get convinced by somebody to go see what's going on, it may actually be the one thing that is going to be your downfall. All right, Matthew chapter 16, verse 1 through 4, and Jesus warned us about this, so we also have this warning. Matthew 16, 1 through 4, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign. They wanted proof, right? They wanted proof that Jesus was approved of Yah, and that would be the thing that would allow him to be acceptable. And he answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And it is morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the sign of the times. Then Jesus goes on to say, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. So what I'm trying to say is when that time comes, and it's going to start to ramp up more and more, hey, you need to go check this guy out. You need to go check out what this woman is doing here. Man, the stuff they're doing, they got to be sent to the Most High. And it's a hook. So Jesus is telling us plainly, this is a wicked and adulterous generation that seeketh after signs, is looking for something to prove the authority and the identity of somebody that's sent of the Most High, if you understand what I'm saying. So don't go after them. Don't put yourself in a position where you might actually get destroyed by their lies and their falsehoods. Matthew chapter 12, verses 38 through 40. Matthew chapter 12, verses 38 through 40. That's why it's so important to know those that labor amongst you and to hold fast to their form of sound words. I mean, we're meeting a lot of new people. A lot of new people are coming into the ministry. I understand that and everything. And, you know, we have a very good track record, and I believe we'll continue to do so to be able to discern those that are actually under the auspices, coming under the auspice of Satan. Yah purges out the rebels. And, you know, he makes manifest in due time those deceivers, but none of these people have ever been to the level yet of where they've actually been able to deceive, the well-established, rooted, and grounded people in the ministry. I'm saying the pastors, the elders, and many of the brethren that have been here quite a while, because they have followed the same pattern, the same advice, and so they're with us in mind, soul, heart, and in spirit, most importantly. Matthew 12:38 through 40. And then certain of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. And he answered and said unto them, even an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And what Jesus is doing is just telling them again about something he spoke about in the second chapter of the book of John, that, you know, he's talking about this temple, you destroy this temple, his body, and he's going to raise it up in 3 days. That's what he's talking about. The sign of Jonas is the resurrection. And that's the only sign he's going to give them. You're going to watch and see the demonstration that it was sent from Yah, but outside of that, no, I ain't giving you nothing else. All right, we must have the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh of truth, and this is why. John chapter 16, verses 13 through 15. John 16, 13 through 15. And Jesus said, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, that's the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, is come, he is the one that's going to guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. We have to have the Holy Spirit. You just have to, in order to actually be able to make it all the way to the end. And, of course, it says in Romans that if you don't have a spirit, you're none of his anyway. So we're going to know them that are of the devil and those that are of Yah. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and I shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. And we're going to finish up with this. 1 John chapter 4, 1 through 3. 1 John 4, 1 through 3. And these are just ways to, prove and show those who are of Yah and those that are not. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try. And that's talking not only spirits that come and speak in your mind, but spirits that are operating through people. But try the spirits, whether they are of Yah, because many false prophets are gone out into the world, and they're operating the deceptive, lying spirits. Hereby know ye the spirit of Yah. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of Yah. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of Yah. And is that of that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. So we have things at our disposal to be able to test and discern if these false prophets, false ministers are actually of Yah or not. Even in the demonstration, the great demonstrations of their, you know, lying signs and wonders. So again, that's the thing that we've been warned about, is that this is the one way that the very elect will be deceived, not so much by the things spoken, but the demonstration of miracles and wonders and signs, and getting us to trying to get the very elect to bite off on the fact that these must be men sent from the Most High, when Jesus said clearly, just be looking to the east. You hunker down, hold fast, be looking to the east. That's the only place that I'm coming from. Don't believe none of this other stuff. So we already have our warning and our direction. Anyway, that's the end of this short study. As with all of them, you could go, they're inexhaustible, but I think there's just enough there. It's just reiterating a lot of what we already know and understand, but I think the purpose was just to make it penetrate a little bit more. So, and the last thing that I'm going to say, at least in reference to this, is that's why it's so vitally important to get yourself clean, right? Get anything spiritually wrong or defects that we may have working in us, whether it be through a demonic spirit, any wicked ways, because the more this stuff that trashes out of this house, the cleaner we are, the better and easier we can hear from the Most High and discern. When you get too much traffic going on in your head, when you get too much of the cares of this life, of course, all that, detracts and takes away from some of these warnings that we would have been able to heed and prevented us from being deceived in any of the things we're deceived in now. So, hallelujah, let's get clean, right? Get pure for our King coming back. Well, that is it for the night. Let me see. Of course, Passover is going to be here before we know it. You should have been having already, doing whatever it is that you can do to make sure you can get here for Yaz Moedim. Those that may be listening, and I'm sure you've heard, because mostly it's just the faithful that are on here, but, the straightway, the Hebrew calendars are out there for order, for purchase. I just got mine. They did an absolutely beautiful job, Brother Steve and Sister Wenda, absolutely beautiful. Really liked it. Sat down and just flipped every month. That's not cheating, is it, if you just go through every month already? Hallelujah. Anyway, that's, like binge-watching a series that comes out on tape or something. But anyway, outside of that, of course, as always, keep the shepherd lifted up in prayer. Pastor Corey, those that have the rule of authority over you, whether they be an elder or a head of fellowship, to help keep it tight, keep it right. So I hope you all have a blessed week and an encouraging week. Whatever trials you come, take it patiently, knowing it's for your perfection. All right, Israel, love you all. Strength and honor. The King is coming.